In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Blessed Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today is a great day. I'm, in some ways, happy that it's on a Sunday this year, because it means more of you will take the opportunity to celebrate the feast. This great feast within our church where we recognize Our Lady as assumed body and soul into heaven, she who is our life, our sweetness, and as we say at the end, our hope. For where she is and as she is, so God willing, when we go to heaven, should we remain true to Christ, so shall we be. A couple things to announce. This week we had a meeting for those who are entering into our confirmation as our young ones in high school. Those who have not yet been confirmed. Our freshmen and our sophomores in particular had their first meeting. You were there, weren't you, Jenna? Yeah. So we're praying for Jenna to make a worthy confirmation here in just a few months. 23 or so. I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot of months in that preparation. So if you know anybody, whether they're your children or your grandchildren, your nieces or nephews, or just anybody you know who has yet to be confirmed, still in the high school ages, have them come and talk to us so that we can get them signed up for classes. Joanne is ready to instruct them in the faith. If you know anybody who, on top of that, has not received any sacrament as an adult, well, let me know as well. Whether that's they missed out on being baptized altogether, so they're not yet Christians, not yet Catholics. If they haven't received their first confession or made their first communion or been confirmed, or even if they have not yet been married in the church, so they're not married at all, and so can't receive Holy Communion and have separated themselves from the life of grace, let us know. We want to take anything away that is an obstacle for them to be fully united to Christ and on the path of righteousness toward heaven. Let us know, and we'll do whatever it is that we can to get them there. If you need to be a sponsor for anybody who is going in preparation for confirmation or baptism, let us know as well. We'll do what we can to meet with you. We've already met with a number this past week and have next week already full with meetings with prospective sponsors as well. And finally, next week, a week from today, immediately after this Mass, you all know that we're beginning our Fiesta and our Rosetta after Mass. So many of you have brought in your tickets. Thank you for supporting your parish in this way. But if you are yet to get those tickets in, that's fine. I still haven't purchased my tickets yet either. So they'll get in there by Saturday at least on my side. A number of them are coming in. I just pulled five or so out of a mailbox yesterday. Thank you for your support in everything that it is that you do for to make our parish Fiesta and Rosetta a great success. Now for the homily. May this oblation, our tribute of homage, rise up to you, O Lord, and through the intercession of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, whom you assumed in heaven, may our hearts be aflame with the fire of your love, constantly longing for you. Words taken from the prayer over the offerings from this Mass of the Assumption. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. On April 12, 1947, that was the Saturday after the celebration of Easter, the Protestant and Catholic apostate Bruno Carlacciola took his young family to a park just outside Rome, Italy. And the wonder that occurred in that park that day brings you and me here today at Mass. Who is this Bruno Carlacciola? He was just a regular city tram operator, a train operator for the city of Rome. He had a young wife and three young children, Isola, who was 10 years old, Carlo, who was 7, and the little babe, Gianfranco, 4, the apple of his eye. It was on April 12, 1947, that Bruno Carlacciola took his children to Tre Fontane, leaving his wife at home, took them to Tre Fontane, which is a park just in the outskirts of the city of Rome, which is famous because that's the place where the Apostle St. Paul was executed. His head was chopped off. It's called Tre Fontane because when they cleft his head from his body, his head bounced three times, and there sprung up three fountains, which are still there to this day. If you join us for our pilgrimage to Rome in the beginning of October, which there still is room for, you'll see that place. The kids who were there, they were playing with a ball as Bruno Carlacciola sat beneath a eucalyptus tree writing a speech that he hoped to deliver the following day. Bruno was going to speak in the public square in the piazza there publicly on Sunday, attacking the church's belief, the Roman Catholic Church's belief, in the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Bruno hated the Blessed Virgin Mary. Even that morning, on his way to the park with his children in tow, he vandalized the statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary, writing beneath it, "You are neither virgin nor a mother." Like most Italian youths of his day, Bruno had been raised Catholic. He'd received all of his sacraments as a youth, learning all his prayers. But in his early 20s, he went out to fight in the Spanish Civil War. Not on the side of those who defended the rights of the church, but on those who attacked it. He joined the wicked Freemasons in their plot to destroy Spain and uproot the Catholic faith. In his time there, fighting on that side of the Spanish Civil War, he met a German Protestant who convinced him that the Catholic Church was pure evil, and that the Pope was the source of all the world's evil in his own person. So convinced of this was this Bruno that he even devised a plot to kill the Pope, Pope Pius XII, planned how he would carry it out. When he was there fighting in the war, he purchased a dagger that he intended to use and carved the words on the handle in Italian saying, "Morte al Papa," which means death to the Pope. He planned to carry out this plot to kill the Pope on September the 8th, 1947, which happens to be the nativity or the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Bruno, even worse, was a terrible husband and father. As a terrible husband, he left his wife when he went to go join the war and only reluctantly came back to her after it was completed. But when he came back, he never ceased speaking blasphemy and cursing all the day long. He drank heavily, was utterly unfaithful to his wife, and in his drunken stupor was often given to beat her senselessly. He went so far as to forbid them from going to Mass and refused to allow his young 4-year-old child, John Franco, to even be baptized, keeping him from the waters of salvation. And then proceeded to force them to leave the practice of the Catholic faith altogether. His wife, trying to save her marriage, trying to save his faith, doing everything that she could to keep her family together, said, "Fine, we will leave the faith. But first, you must make the 9 first Fridays in honor of the Sacred Heart of Jesus." She was doing this pleading with the Sacred Heart that in some way her husband would be converted and they would not have to abandon the salvation wrought by the Catholic Church, God's mean of salvation to a dark world. He did so reluctantly, only reluctantly, but then as soon as it was completed, no change. He left the church and forced his family to become Seventh-day Adventists, another sect who absolutely hates the church and Our Lady. His behavior only intensified, and his hatred for the church, for the Blessed Mother, and for the Pope only worsened. On that afternoon, it was April the 12th, 1947, the Saturday after the Feast of Easter, Bruno sat under that eucalyptus tree writing that speech which he would deliver the following day in the piazza against the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady. Then, as he was writing, one of his small children came up to him crying because they couldn't find their ball, the ball which they were playing with. And so Bruno, probably more out of a desire to get back to what he was doing than to help his children, went out to go discover the location of that ball to pacify his child. As they went searching for the ball, he stumbled upon his 4-year-old John Franco, the littlest of his children, there kneeling at the entrance of a cave with his hands folded. The boy's face was radiant and joyful, with his eyes fixed at the back of that cave, reciting in his lips, "Bella donna, bella donna," which means beautiful lady, beautiful lady. Bruno, puzzled by this, peered as best he could in the back of the cave, seeing nothing but rock there, mystified. He turned to his children, both of whom were following closely behind him, and when he turned, he saw them already there behind him, kneeling, with their hands folded in prayer, reciting just as his child was, transfixed on the back of that cave, saying, "Bella donna, bella donna, beautiful lady, beautiful lady." Bruno, seeing nothing there within the cave, trying to pick them up, trying to move them, or even divert their gaze in some sort of way, but it was as though they were in ecstasy. They could see nothing. He could not move, despite his great strength, their little size. It was as though they were glued to the ground on which they knelt. And then Bruno himself was overcome with a perfume of wild flowers that permeated the area. Two hands, though invisible to him, he saw the outline thereof, began wiping his face and wiping his eyes, which caused him great pain. When the hands left, behold, right before him, a little tiny light he could see at the back of that cave that grew and grew and grew more and more luminous. Bruno felt within his soul a warmth, a heart. That's something that he hadn't felt since he was a little boy himself. And finally, he saw her, la bella donna, the beautiful woman, in a long, brilliantly white dress that reached to the ground, a rose sash tied around her waist. Over her beautiful black flowing hair, there was a green mantle that extended all the way down to her bare feet. She held within her hand a dark gray Bible, and at her feet there was a black cloth, on it which lay a smashed crucifix. She had a maternal look upon her face, but she was very, very sad. Leaning inward toward Bruno, now that she had caught his gaze, she spoke the following words to him, saying, "I am the Virgin of Revelation. You persecute me. Enough of it now. Enter into the true fold, God's kingdom here on earth. The 9 first Fridays, which your faithful wife persuaded you to observe before you walked the road of lies, have saved you." End quotation. She revealed to him the sorry state of his soul, which was on the way to perdition, to hell, as he was going against God, his church, and she, the Mother of God. The lady then proceeded to show him the way to salvation. She said to him, quote, "Live the divine doctrine. Practice Christianity in its true form. Live the faith. Pray much and recite the rosary for the conversion of sinners, for that of unbelievers, and for the conversion of all Christians who do not practice the Catholic faith." End quotation. After this experience, Bruno began to visibly change. His visage was transformed. His heart, which was formerly so full of hatred for God, for the Church of God, for the Pope, for the Mother of God, began to fill with the love of the Lord. Before leaving, again, the Virgin Mary spoke to this Bruno about her assumption into heaven. She said this, quote, "My body could not and did not decay. I was assumed into heaven by my Son and his angels who came to take me to himself. You must go to the Holy Father," she continued, "the Pope, the Supreme Pastor of Christianity, and personally tell him my message." End quotation. After saying this, she began to float away in the direction where he knew St. Peter's Basilica was from that park. And when she disappeared, she left behind a scent of the most sweet roses he had ever smelt in his life. There he was, Bruno. He was stunned. And so he took his 3 young children with him to the nearest Catholic church to pray before the Blessed Sacrament to process what exactly happened there and to see where he must go from this point. Before he returned home, he returned back to that spot of the apparition, and there carved on the nearby tree these words, quote, "On April 12, 1947, the Virgin of Revelation appeared to the Protestant Bruno Caracciola and his children, and he was converted." End quotation. Carving that with his own house key. If you go with us to Rome in October, you can still see it. Bruno asked his children to keep the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary a secret, and especially not to tell their mother about this. But children are not good at keeping secrets, particularly of seeing something so luminous and glorious. And so as soon as they entered the door, they could not stop speaking about the Virgin, about her beauty, about the message which she gave. Bruno, seeing he could hold back no longer, fell at the knees of his dear wife there and begged her forgiveness for all the abuse he had given her her entire life, and particularly for taking her away from the Catholic Church, which was the means of salvation. Of this he was firmly convinced. Receiving him back into her arms, she forgave him, and they proceeded to find the priest so they could immediately enter back into the Catholic Church, which they left. From then on, Bruno Caracciola never again laid a hand upon his wife, never again cursed or blasphemed the name of God or any of the teachings of the Church, prayed the rosary every single day, and became a devout Catholic, dying in the year 2001, very recently. His sons are still around today, young Gianfranco and Carlo. The two of them constantly are evangelists, preaching about the beauties of the truth, and especially the Mother of God. It took 2 years before Bruno was able to meet with the Pope, Pius XII, and deliver Our Lady's message. So it was in 1949, that Bruno was invited to pray the rosary with Pope Pius XII. You see, he would often call the people of God there in Rome to pray devoutly with him, for he knew that the times were becoming dark. After completing the rosary, Pope Pius XII asked if anyone wanted to speak with him. Immediately, Bruno shot up his hand, and when called forward, he went with great sorrow to kneel and to fall at the knees of Pope Pius XII, burying his head within his garments and upon his knees as he begged forgiveness for the years of hatred he had against God, against the Church, against the Mother of God, and confessed his own intention to murder Pope Pius XII before he was kneeling. Reaching into his own coat, he pulled out that dagger, which he had carved upon the handle, Morte al Papa, death to the Pope, and handed it to him, saying, "This was the very implement, the dagger, which I was intending to thrust in you on the feast of Our Lady's birth." Pope Pius immediately forgave this man, immediately forgave him, because it's only the Pope who can forgive a plot against his life. And after which, receiving him back into good relationship with the Church and with himself, Bruno shared Our Lady of Revelation's message with the Pope. Those of you who know history know that it was a single year later, just 1 year later, that Pope Pius XII, exercising his great charism of infallibility, which only the Pope has, formally declared, quote, "Finally, the Immaculate Virgin, after Virgin perceived, preserved, free from all stain of original sin, when the course of her earthly life was finished," meaning when she died an earthly death, "was taken body and soul into heavenly glory, and exalted by the Lord as queen over all things, so that she might be more fully conformed to her Son, the Lord of Lords, and the conqueror of both sin and of death." End quotation. This is exactly what the Virgin of Revelation declared to Bruno 1 year earlier, which he shared with the Pope and gave him strength to make such a bold declaration. This belief only codified the belief of the ancient Church, that so that no one could doubt it at all. The Feast of the Assumption is what brings you and I here today. It's today, August 15th, all over the world, we as Catholics gather together to celebrate this august mystery, to be reminded that body and soul, we celebrate her Assumption, or her being taken up into heavenly glory. It's a belief that is very dear to our hearts as Catholics. Why? Because this belief teaches us something that we need to know and to hear and to hold onto with all of our being. It tells us that we have a mother in heaven, body and soul. That we have a mother named Mary who waits and longs for you and me in heaven. What is a mother? Must I tell you what a mother is? We know. A mother is the very heart of a family. The heart of a family. She feels everything that happens to her children more strongly than they themselves feel it. She longs for their success in everything far more than they could ever desire it. She reels in pain every time it is that they are hurt. She suffers every time any one of her members of her family suffers far more than they do, whether as a whole or in part in her individual members, from the greatest down to the least. Mom always worries, she always prays, she always seeks the good of her family, the highest good. What this mystery of the Assumption teaches you and me is that heaven has a beating heart, that heaven has a human heart, that heaven has a mother's heart. Mary is constantly interceding for you and me before God, constantly praying for us to come back to God when we've strayed, constantly yearning for us to return to the Lord. He who will only be the one, the only source of what can really bring us happiness and fulfillment. Just like every natural mother longs for her children, Mother Mary never gives up. Never gives up on us. No matter how far it is that we wander from the path, no matter how many blasphemies or attacks we level against her, our family, or God himself, she always seeks to bring us home. Mary will go to extreme measures to bring you and me back. No different than what she did for Bruno Caracciola. She'll do for you and me. The Assumption is a call for us to deepen our faith in the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, to deepen our trust in her unending love for us, to deepen our confidence that in our distance, no matter how far it is we go or feel, that it is heaven, the motherly heart that is in heaven, which is hers, yearns and pursues us until we're at last found. Our mother She loves us so much, so very much. She's always ready to come and help us, to embrace us. Whenever it is that we recite even the simplest of Hail Marys, whenever we say the weakest of Aves that can barely pass our weak lips, even when we can barely squeeze her rosary beads in place of that hand which we wish to clasp and never let go. As we're going to pray in just a few moments before the gifts are offered up, we'll say, through the intercession of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, whom you assumed in heaven, may our hearts, aflame with the fire of love, constantly long for you. If we don't constantly long for God, worry not. Mary will show you the way. She is the perfect disciple, as our readings proclaimed, wants nothing more for you and me, her children. If your husband or your wife, maybe it is your children or grandchildren, somebody within your life does not constantly long for God, then do it. Make those 9 first Fridays for, if not with them, just like Bruno's wife did. Because that is the very thing that wrought his conversion. Our Lady of Revelation tells us the same. What are those promises which are promised to those who keep these 9 first Fridays in memory? He says that I will give them all the graces that are necessary for them in life, that I will establish peace within their homes, that I will comfort them in the midst of all their afflictions, that I will be their strength during this life and above all at the hour of their death, that I will bestow upon them a large blessing in whatever undertaking they perform. Sinners shall find in my heart the source of infinite mercy. Tepid souls will grow fervent. Fervent souls shall mount to high perfection. Those who shall promote this devotion shall have their names written upon my heart that will never, ever be able to be blotted out. These and many others are the 12 promises that our Lord gives when we have devotion to his sacred heart. Did we not see them in the life of Bruno Caracciola? Will they not be so true for you and I? Mary is a virgin. Mary is a mother. No matter what Bruno wrote in his vandalism that day before he went and encountered Our Lady of Revelation, Mary, our mother, she is assumed body and soul into heaven. So what does that teach us? It means that we know heaven has a mother's heart. It means that you know that your mother Mary will never, ever give up on you, no matter how far we stray. That's why we can say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. O Mary, you who are assumed in heaven body and soul, pray for this. Pray for this poor sinner who reaches out to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.